Chapter 2. Defenseless. The whole of the ship's crew raced towards Ned. My heart beat loudly. A spot in the sea had a spooky glow. Were we about to uncover the mystery of the monster? Could it be algae? Asked Conseil. He was clearly hoping it wasn't a monster. No, I said. That light isn't algae. It has to be some sort of electrical power. And look, it's moving. Aye, and straight for us, said Ned. The glowing patch of water whizzed towards the Abraham Lincoln at the speed of a rocket. The water around it splashed and bubbled. At the last minute, it dived below the waves and came up on the other side of our ship. Captain Farragut was amazed. Professor Arana, he said, what sort of creature is this? How can we catch it? I stared at the gigantic creature. It was unlike anything I'd seen before, and I had no idea how to fight it. The tail of the creature beat violently, frothing up the water as it moved. I guessed it was at least 80 meters long. As I watched, two jets of steam and water squirted upwards, at least 50 meters into the air. I guessed they were the breathing holes of a whale. Put on all steam, Captain Farragut said grimly. The time for battle had arrived. The Abraham Lincoln steamed straight at the creature at top speed, but to our surprise we didn't get any closer. Put on more steam if you can, sir, Ned said. If we can get closer, I'll harpoon it. Engineer, put on more steam, Captain Farragut ordered. Ned got ready to strike. The fires in the engine room of the Abraham Lincoln burned red hot. The masts trembled and the narrow funnels choked with smoke. For a whole hour we chased the monster, but we could not get any closer. The sailors swore and Captain Farragut chewed on his beard. Several times we thought it slowed a little, but just as Ned got ready to strike, it swerved away again. It's playing with us, Ned said. I just can't get close enough to hit it. Very well, Captain Farragut said. We shall see if it can outrun our cannon. The cannon was loaded and fired. The first shot passed harmlessly over the top of the creature. To the right, the captain cried. The next missile seemed to score a direct hit, but had no effect at all. The captain would not give up. I'm going to chase that monster until this ship falls apart, he declared. Just then, I heard a swishing noise and saw Ned's arm whip forward. He had thrown his harpoon at the creature. There was a dull, metallic clang as it struck. Then the light went out on the creature, and two enormous water spouts broke over the bridge of our ship. Water rushed from one end of the deck to the other, knocking men off their feet. A thundering shock followed, and the ship rocked. I was taken by surprise and felt myself falling forward. I grabbed helplessly at the rail, and then I tumbled over the side and into the sea. I rose to the surface, gasping for air, only to see the Abraham Lincoln steaming away from me at full speed. Help! Help! I screamed. My waterlogged clothes were dragging me down. I was sinking. But then I felt my arm grabbed by a strong hand, and I was pulled back to the surface. It was Conseil. Conseil, I spluttered. Did you fall overboard as well? No, I jumped, he said. You jumped? I needed a bath, he said. Conseil had risked his life to save me, but he still found time to joke. Why didn't the ship stop to rescue us? I asked. It couldn't. The monster's teeth smashed our rudder, Conseil said. The ship was out of control. We said no more, because staying afloat in the choppy sea took all our breath away. As we swam, we took it in turns to pull each other along, so that we could also take it in turns to rest. It was not long before my strength ran out, and I couldn't hold on to Conseil any more. He had to swim for both of us. You must leave me, I said. Save yourself. But Conseil would not let me go. A moment later, my hand hit something below the surface of the water. I clung to it and felt another helping hand on my arm. "Ned," I cried. "Hold on and put your feet down," he told me. I did as he said, and my feet came to rest on a fern platform. I laughed with relief. "Did you fall overboard or jump like Conseil?" I asked. "I fell," Ned said. "But I was luckier than you. I landed on this floating island, or should I say, onto our mysterious sea monster." "The sea monster?" I cried. I couldn't believe what Ned was saying. "Are we really standing on the creature we've been chasing?" "Yes," Ned said, "and it's made of steel plate. That's why my harpoon bounced off it." I kicked the hull, and it rang out like a bell. The monster that had terrified the world wasn't a live creature at all. We were standing on the back of a huge steel submarine ship. How could that be? Had somebody really built a ship that could sail underwater? I had only just taken this in when the steel fish began to slip below the surface. It was diving. All of us scrambled about, searching for an opening in the submarine, but we couldn't find one. The water rose around our chests, and for the second time in a couple of hours it looked as if we were about to drown. Ned kicked out at the steel plates and yelled, "Let us in, you monsters!" The submarine stopped sinking, as if it had heard him. There was a clanking sound, and a metal plate lifted. The masked head of a man came into view. Several more masked men followed him, and arms reached out to grab us. Then they dragged us through the manhole and into the belly of the mysterious submarine.